Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, November 5th, 8:21 Central Time, celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO. 90 days to celebrate 90 years. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast Services here at Worldwide KFUO. Good morning, Rod.
Hey, Andy.
How are you this morning?
Yeah, when you introduce us as the Reverend, you're kind of thinking, uh-oh, for a Bible study, I better be on today, right? But it's good to be here with you. Hey, 90 years, what'd you think of the kickoff?
Oh, lots of fun. The celebration here with here for the folks at the International Center, anybody visiting the International Center with the festivities the other day, the cookies and T-shirts and things like that to celebrate. Hey, yeah, I see CFW Walther out there sporting the new KFUO t-shirt.
And a cookie. And so nobody's taking it down, so it makes me feel good, you know? Because I'm the one that did it out there for you officials. I'm the one that did it. So Walther got into it. And you know what someone just walking in here from communications, and we were talking, Blessed designer down there helped us out with a lot of our posters and so forth, and asking, you know, what'd you think? Well, you know, we got the word out a whole lot, and a lot of people got the t-shirts, and now we're getting, you know, because we posted all this with us wearing our t-shirts, mm-hmm. We get people from India, Andy, asking me how they can get them. So that's what we'd like. And next week, everybody will get their chance. That's the emphasis next week, isn't it? Is where all the world can get one of these iLutheran t-shirts, which I think are going to be a collector's item. I think they're pretty cool.
Well, very good. We are studying Matthew chapter 23 today, verses 1 through 12. I'll read the text for us, and then we'll dig into it here. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." All right. So Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do."
Wow. So, Andy, what I see this as a real reaction from our Lord that what's been going on previously, really in 22, where this priest and Pharisees, they take our Lord and they try to show him up. They try to catch him, trick him into saying something that would be against God's word, and therefore convince everybody that this guy is not the Messiah. He's not to be followed. He's not to be trusted. And so, you know, they ask, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? The Sadducees try to get him on the resurrection, which, you know, they don't believe in. And there in 29, Jesus says amazing thing. "You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." Now, that's pretty scathing. Then they go on to try to catch him, which is the greatest commandment in the law. And he basically lays it out as we would talk about law and gospel. Hey, I summarize it, love God with all you've got. And that's the first and the greatest. And then second, love your neighbors yourself. Do these. And all of this depends the Bible. And then he turns it around at the end of 22, Andy, and asks them a question. What do you think about the Messiah? That's how they were to heard it. We have it here. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they say the son of David, of course. And he says, well, then how is it that the Bible says David, by the Holy Spirit, calls this guy Lord, saying, "Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." And then he says, if then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was be able to answer a word. Crickets. And so then Jesus here, why I prepped that, Andy, is here our Lord really goes in the offensive and he does a scathing speech about them. I think not just for them, but for all the listeners that day, and for us to know how we, what our Lord thinks of these kind of people. Now, this is pretty scathing. I would encourage you, I hope it's on their archives, our friend Todd Wilkin over at Issues, Etc., he wrote in one of his journal entries a great, great thing on, you know, we all play the Pharisee card. We all call ourselves these guys, Pharisees, scribes, the chief priest, and who really are they? And so I would say go there to Issues, Etc., on their search engine, they've got a good one like mm-hmm. we do, and just put in, you know, I think like the Pharisee card. And if it's not up, I'm sure if you contacted Issues and asked them, can we get a copy of this? They would do it because it is great. And so this is what he's saying. You sit on Moses' seat. So he's saying a seat of authority, you know, because Moses is a big guy like Abraham to the Jewish people. And so practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. So they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad, their fringes long. They love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others.
So our Lord is saying something important for us, I think, Andy, is it's not all show and go. We should not look at Christians, especially our Christian leaders, our pastors, by their degrees behind their name, or their accomplishments, but by how well do they preach and live their life according to God's word. You know, Paul says, I imitate Christ, and so, you imitate me, you're imitating Christ. And our pastors should be doing that too. And these guys were not doing it. They were making great speeches about how pious and righteous they were. But our Lord says, look at them, they are nothing, you know. And you know, he, another place he says, if you don't exceed what the Pharisees and the scribes did keeping the law, you'll never make it into heaven. And so what is he saying? Hey, perfection is what's required of them and us, and these guys never pull it off. And they're saying that's the guts of the faith. So anybody tells you got to do this or don't do that to please God, you tell them for Jesus and for me at least, and probably for Andy Bates, you'll never get to heaven that way. Mm-hmm. The one who does it all for us, the Messiah, the Christ, who's speaking this, he does it, and he then gives it to us, his fulfillment of the law and his punishment for breaking that law.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading today. We're in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, studying with Pastor Rod Zwanitzer here at Worldwide KFUO. Pastor, listeners, if you have questions or comments, you want to call or email, you can do that, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor Zwanitzer, I want to go to verse 5. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and being called rabbi by others. Phylacteries and fringes, something that us Gentiles, we Gentiles don't really, probably aren't too familiar with. What are phylacteries and the fringes that are mentioned here?
Well, the phylacteries were little boxes, and you'll see some Orthodox Jews even today have those on. I've seen a few. And so they actually thought that what was important is to carry these scriptures around on these little boxes around their forehead and around their wrist. And so that was like, honoring and keeping the word of God. But even in the Old Testament, God didn't really meant that. He meant to have it in your soul, to have it into your heart. And so that's what we want our people to do, Andy. I know where you work as a DCE,
that we have phylacteries?
We have little boxes inside their souls where God stuffs these beautiful spiritual thoughts, don't we? that even to our little kids, that God is going to be for them. He's going to take care of them. And more than all, that he loves them and died for them. And no matter what happens to them, they're going to be with their Jesus forever. And so that's what you know, Jesus is attacking here. You guys got it all wrong. I want you to treasure the word of God in your soul, not in little boxes that you carry around showing people that you're into the word. In that way, that shows nothing. So, you know, we might say it today, if somebody walks around with a great big Bible, you know, I used to, the joke that that I always like to tell my people when I made home visits is about the kid that walked up to his mom and dad one day, and he says, you know that big book on the coffee table in the living room? The one with all the dust, is it? You know, whose book is it? And the mom says, well, it's a little sweetheart, that's God's holy word. And said, well, why don't we ever open it? And you know, that's the point. You carry these around, but you got to use them and be blessed by them in the right way.
But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. So Jesus talks about how they like being called rabbi, but you are not to be called rabbi, or rabbi, which means teacher, right?
Sure. And you asked me about the fringes, and so let me read what the study Bible says about it. Tassels containing blue strands that Jews attached to the corners of their garments to remind them of the commandments. So it wasn't reminding them of the commandments. It was all show to show everybody else that they know the commandments. And here our Lord is saying, too, you guys always want the privileges of honor. You know, so you want the titles, you want the places at the banquets, and you also want to be honored by name. And so, it's a tough thing for a pastor, Andy. I know one place that I went into, a pastor was there, always told the people, I don't want to be called pastor, I want to be called by my first name. So when I went, I had to tell him, that's fine for him, but my choice is this, that I don't want you to call me Rod. I want you to call me Pastor or Pastor Rod or Pastor Z, not in honor of me, but in honor of the office that I bear. I represent Jesus here in this place. So these guys aren't honoring the title at all, being a teacher of the truth. And so, you know, Jesus is saying here, you know, our real teacher is Christ and the Father, and he says you guys don't honor either one.
If going back to the conversation about using the terms pastor or teacher or whatever, if someone goes by, you know, if a pastor goes by his first name, the preference to be addressed as pastor, even if you're not doing it for your own sake, you know, if I'm not calling you pastor for my own sake, at least do it for your sake to remind you what your duty is, what your office is, that you are there to be a shepherd, that you are here to be a pastor.
Yeah, and that's very good. That's right on, Andy, because what I used to say to people was, if I have to choose between being your friend and being your pastor, I will take pastor every time. So don't try to pull it down to this comfortable level that we are on equal terms. We are on equal teams in terms of sinners, and we are on equal terms in terms of how much salvation we have. We all have the same amount of salvation in Christ. But the important distinction that you were raising so well put is that when God needs to speak to you with his authority as your spiritual leader, then the title applies, pastor. You know, my favorite title, which we use, of course, in the Holy Liturgy, is I, as a called and ordained servant of the word. That's the one that always touched my heart and still does. Servant of the word. Mm-hmm. I want to serve the word in the revealed scripture and in the word Jesus Christ.
That's another whole chapter for me. Acts chapter 6 and servants, diakonia.
Oh, yeah.
Diakonia and being called a servant. Yeah, absolutely. But I could go on for a long time about that. We'll get getting back to this. If we were to follow the letter of the law here, like the Pharisees do, as the scribes and the Pharisees do, as Jesus is talking about, if we were called to follow the letter of the law, Jesus here says, call no one rabbi, call no one father who is on heaven, call no one instructor or teacher. because you have a father who is in heaven, you have one instructor, the Christ. If we were to follow the letter of the law, we would never use those words except for addressing God.
Right.
What is the spirit of the law here? What is Jesus getting at with these statements? Call no man your father on earth, for you have one father in heaven. I have a biological father who were very loving and raised me, and I call him dad, mm-hmm. or father. Mm-hmm. Is Jesus saying here I should never address him as father or dad?
I think I'd have to let Jesus speak for himself on that. And, he always says, I'm not the father, I'm the son. But he and I say the same thing. I wouldn't call Jesus the father. I would call him. And I have problems, and I know that, we might even get calls and lambasted, but I know some pastors want to be called father. And I know that's a Roman Catholic tradition. And I don't adhere to that one because I think you were bringing up, who's your spiritual father? Who was the one who Jesus spoke the truth? It was your rabbi, in other words, your instructor in the faith. And I've had many of those, but I never wanted to call, and I don't call any of those my father. I call them dear pastors, dear instructors, catechism instructors, and so forth. And so, we want to give all the honor and the glory to Christ because, you're talking about the law, the letter of the law. The letter of the law only is there to point us towards the need for the gospel. And I was sharing with an atheist just yesterday this, and he was asking, hey, why do you obey Christ and try to do his will? And I'm saying, well, that's not it. That's law. What we must do or not do to please God, and we know we'll never please him that way. So the law just serves to show me I'm in trouble. I can't do the law. What am I going to do? And then here comes the glorious gospel, right? And so I think that's where these Pharisees miss it completely. They think they're doing the letter of the law very minutely, like attorneys do, hair-splitting words, and what does is mean? Things like that. And Jesus says, the law only shows us, I'm in trouble, Andy. I cannot do the law as hard as I try, as much as I want to do it. But I know Jesus did it for me, and he took my punishment for not fulfilling that law. So that's where we're going here. I love this verse 10. Neither be called instructors. It'd be interesting to look up the Greek and its meaning there. For you have one instructor, the Christ. I wonder if it's anything to do with teaching or catechesis. Look that up for us. Let me see here. We've got
You're going to rely on my Greek skills? All right.
Let me see here if I can find it. That's fascinating to me. We only have one instructor.
Far right column, verse 10.
Yeah.
Mede?
Catechesis. Catechesis. Whoa, my Greek is... I think we're getting into catechesis there.
you don't want to rely on my Greek, for sure.
I'm not totally into that word, so I'm thinking I'm going to have to check this out. And I'll for sure let you know, but I think it might be a terms of a catechesis, mm-hmm. who means we Cathetes. Ask a question about God and we answer it from the Bible.
Cathetes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so how neat is that? And so the greatest among you shall be your servant. There we're back to the servant of the catechesis thing. And then 12 is a huge, huge thing that likely starts from way back in Proverbs. About when you're before the king, don't exalt yourself to a high place. Rather, take mm-hmm. the lowest place you can find, and then if the king says, come forward, come forward. And that's the whole biblical principle here that the Bible uses all the time, Andy. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And so, here, to me, the classic, too, is the two guys praying on the roof. And one says, looking at the other one, I'm so glad you didn't make me like this slob. You made me the pillar of the congregation. I am fantastic. I do all the laws. This poor guy over here, look at him. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat on his chest, being a poor, miserable sinner. And Jesus said, only one went away forgiven and justified, saved, we could say, that day. And we know which one it was, the one who humbled himself.
That brings us to the end of our text for today. Looking over the text as a whole, anything else you want us to walk away with today?
Well, I would encourage the people to take this away. If you have a pastor who is exalting himself, and I've heard some of these too. My wife and I heard a terrible sermon that was all law, and what the guy was tooting is, hey, follow me. I am such a great evangelist. I've saved so many people, and we're going to save so many people if you just follow me. And he never talked about he is a humble sinner, or Jesus as the forgiveness of that sins, who can save people and primarily does. So all teaching should honor the Christ and use Jesus as your catechesist. So if it isn't Jesus speaking, don't listen. Don't listen. And so ask the pastor, and I've did this before when I was a lay person, Andy, I got in trouble. I said, is that what Jesus really meant? Is that what Jesus really said here? Because I was interested. And when they wouldn't get it back to forgiveness of sins, don't follow them. Don't listen to them, because we know the center of Scripture for me, Luke 24, around 24 through 27, 40-something, where Jesus says, hey, you fools, that didn't know that throughout the Bible, it's talking about my death, my resurrection. So if you can't do that in all the Bible, you're not doing it right. And so that's the takeaway here. Jesus is saying these people that want to be honored as having numbers, big following, whatever, that's not it. It's the people that are faithful to God's Scripture and to His Christ as the real instructor.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today, Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, with the Reverend Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast Services here at Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO. Thanks so much, Rod, for coming in and sharing this time with us and helping us study God's Word in Matthew chapter 23 today.
Always love to do it. Invite me in more.
Thanks so much. God's blessings. And coming up in just a little bit, we've got Witness Wednesday. Stick around for that as we hear from Pastor Mark Wood, Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to talk about effective witnessing. Review Lassie today. We're going to talk about that here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.